This evening, if we could turn to 1 John chapter 4, I'm just going to read a few verses there. When you found your place, if you can stand, we'll stand and then we'll read the Word of God. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you so much for your love. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Lord, you daily load us with benefits. Lord, we could spend the rest of our lives in eternity just marveling at your love. Father, we thank you for this time we're able to share. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would be with my mind, with my thoughts, be with my words. Father, that I would only be the words that you'd have me to speak, that would each receive a blessing and encouragement from your word. Father, we ask and pray, Lord, that would have the Spirit of God would have liberty in our midst tonight. Father, and I pray, Lord, that each of us would be challenged and, Lord, changed. Father, we pray and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In verses previous, he's showing us to try the spirits, test the spirits, to see what spirit it's of. And then verses 7 down, which will start in verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another." We're going to look at true biblical love. This is a topic that we could spend so much. There's so much in the Bible about love, and I'm just going to scratch the surface tonight. But I trust it'll be a blessing to you, an encouragement to you, and a challenge. It has been to me. This is something that's been a challenge when we're in Israel. Brother Andrew said, just to share something that's been, the Lord's been working in your life, and this is something that's the Lord's been working in my life, this aspect of true biblical love and what it is and how to exercise it. It's not possible to have true biblical love without first seeing and experiencing the love of Christ. If you haven't seen the love of Christ and experienced the love of Christ in salvation, you are not going to be able to experience and be able to demonstrate true biblical love, true agape love. We have a very, very twisted, warped view of love in this day and age. You think about it. What's love? It's spelled L-U-S-T. That's the love of this world. Lust. It's not true love. When someone says, "Oh, I love you." No, it's... they really just infatuated with them. They're lusting after them in this world. True biblical love isn't just this feeling. It's not. And we'll look at that as we go through. In verse 10 it says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." I think sometimes, I know for myself, it's very easy to forget the love of Christ. You get in the flesh, you forget the love of Christ. When you're walking in the Spirit, You're thinking on the love of Christ and you're dwelling on that, and that's what constrains you. Herein is the love, is love, not that we love God. It's not because we love God, it's because He loved us. And He's the greatest demonstration of love was His sending His Son for us. Amen. He sent His Son to die for our sins. You just stop and comprehend that for a moment. He sent His Son to die. That is some serious love. I remember when Jaden was born, being in the hospital and Lyd going through childbirth and then him coming out. And I just remember it just on a small scale, just going, wow, the love of God's so amazing. There's no way I could send this innocent little child to die for someone else. Not even someone who was my best friend. I wouldn't send him to die. He's my son. I love him. But you think about God's love for us. We're sinners. The best things we can do are filthy rags. But He sent His Son to die for us. That is the most amazing demonstration of love you'll ever see. He sent His Son to die for your sins, that you could have a way to be right with God. Have a heavenly Father, not just an earthly Father, but a heavenly Father, and have a home in heaven one day. That is true love. That's true love. In verse 9 it says, "In this was manifest the love of God toward us." This is how it was shown, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. There is only one way to live, and that's through Christ, through the blood of Christ. If you haven't trusted Christ your Savior tonight, you are dead. You're dead in trespasses and sins. You're not alive. You might be breathing by the grace of God, but you are not alive. When you die, you'll go to eternal death in hell. It's not eternal life with Christ. It's eternal death. That's the love of God. He made the way open through His Son. Question, have you trusted Christ as your Savior tonight? Have you experienced and seen the love of God and experienced that in your life and trusted Christ as your Savior? Because if you haven't, my friend, you don't know when the end is. You don't know when it's going to be. And I challenge you, make certain sure where you are going to spend eternity. God loved you so much He sent His Son. Don't spit in His face. He sent His Son to die for your sins. Isn't that enough for you to be able to go, wow, He died for me, for my sins? I'm not worthy, but He made the way. That's true love. That's true love. In verse 11, it says, "Beloved," this is John speaking here to the believers, "if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." We ought also to love one another. What is the definition of true biblical love? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The world has its own idea of love, and it's twisted, absolutely twisted. It's run on emotions and feelings. That's not true biblical love. Verse 1, it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I'm nothing." Here you just see here, and though in verse 3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." You go, hang on a second, this is crazy. I've got the gift of prophecy, I've got an old mystery, I've got old knowledge. Surely this counts for something. No, not without love. Not without true biblical love, not without true biblical agape love. It's worth nothing. It goes on to say, "Though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains." Faith, the grain of a mustard seed, will move a mountain, amen. But without love, without charity, I am nothing. We can have this great faith, but if it's without true biblical love, it's nothing. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned," we can fight for a cause and just try and be right. We can die a martyr just so we can be right and defend the faith, as it were. But if it's without love, without true biblical love with the right motive, it's nothing. It's nothing. And it's, for me, that's a challenge, because we can have all these things that are so good and right and we need them. But without love, that needs to come first. Without love, it's nothing. Then we see in verse 4. What love is. "Charity," or love, "suffereth long and is kind." Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. I want you to look at this here. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Let's go back to verse 6. I want to spend just a fraction of time here. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love should never be at the expense of truth, and it never is. True love is never at the expense of truth. Oh, it's okay, we'll just let this one slide because we love them. No, that's not right. True love is honest. True love doesn't just sweep under the carpet something that needs to be talked about, dealt with. Don't just sweep it under. Sometimes we need to talk to a person in love, not just to get down their throat and you're wrong. No, in love. In love. That's the only way to approach a situation. Any conflict is in love. Check your motive before you go sort someone out. Amen. Don't just go sort someone out because you think you're right and they're wrong. Check the Bible, check your motive, do it in love. It's very easy just to go, he's wrong, I'm right, let's go sort it out. Check your motive, is it in love? Why do you want to go sort them out? Just so you can be right? Or because you have a genuine concern and you want to see them grow? It's for their well-being? Amen. It's for the furtherance of the gospel? Or is it just because you want to be right and them wrong? Love's never the expense of truth. I think one of the things which I find is, I wouldn't say a hobby horse for me, but something that I dislike a lot, and that's Hollywood. I very much dislike Hollywood because that's rejoicing in iniquity. Mm. If you can sit there and watch Hollywood trash, you're rejoicing in iniquity. What they do on those screens, blaspheme the name of Christ, all this rubbish and filth, that is rejoicing in iniquity. That's not rejoicing in the truth. Someone penned that down and wrote that down so they could act it out. That's what happened. It's purposeful. It's planned. It's the devil's way to get into hearts and lives, into homes, and wrecks them. That's one of the things he uses. Hollywood. How do we get this view of marriage and love and what relationships should be? From Hollywood. And it's wrong. We should go to the Bible. This whole world says this is the ideal of a relationship. They have it in the movies. What does the Bible say? What is true love? Love isn't lust. Love isn't just feeling like you just, oh, I love them. No, it's not that. If we can sit and enjoy and laugh and just, this is great. It's just a little bit of comedy and it's just a little bit of fun. What does the Bible say about it? That's my question. What does the Bible say about it? Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. True love, biblical love, doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. Rejoices in the truth. Love doesn't have any joy in injustice or anything that's wrong. If something happens bad to someone, you go, oh well, you know. It should be, oh, wow. How can we do something to help them or pray for them? We shouldn't rejoice in the fact that someone stumbles and falls. That's not love. That's not love at all. We shouldn't even rejoice at the downfall of an enemy when someone who's done something wrong to us and they get justice, you see justice, like, yeah. There we go, they got it. They deserved it. That's not love. Whether they got justice or not, it's not your position to say, they got justice. That's right, I'm vindicated. I was right, there we go. That's not biblical. That's not love. That's wrong. That's the spirit of this world. That's the spirit of this world. That's not true biblical love, and that's not the love that God wants us to display. It was interesting as I was studying and just looking at this here and just going through the list of these things that characteristics of true biblical love: suffers long, kind, envies not boastful, isn't proud, doesn't act inappropriately, isn't selfish, doesn't get provoked easily, doesn't think evil, rejoices not in iniquity, rejoices not in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Then you look at the fruits of the Spirit. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians in chapter 5, verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Firstly, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Then joy, we heard that this morning. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. It's interesting how the fruits of the Spirit, you see them in the characteristics of love. You see it. It's right there. It's long-suffering. Suffers long as kind. That's long-suffering. It's not boastful. It's meek. Doesn't act inappropriate. It's gentle. Isn't selfish. There's temperance there. Doesn't get easily provoked. There's peace. Rejoices in the truth. There's joy. Believes all things. Hopes all things. There's faith. It's amazing how I've never seen it before, and it just came together, and I'm like, wow, that's the fruit of the Spirit. We're told to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're told to walk in love. True biblical love. Agape love. Agape love. It's love that is not selfish. Doesn't seek its own. It's not easily provoked. Let's go back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4 again. It's amazing how it says, God is love. God is love. And the world says, if God is all loving, how come all these things happen? Like we said, love is not at the expense of truth and justice and right. That's what we get it mixed up. We get this warped view of love is just giving everyone everything they want whenever they want. That's not true love. That's not true love. If my son wants to go touch the fire and I let him go touch the fire, is that loving? I know he's going to get burnt, so I say, no, you can't go touch it. That's loving, isn't it? Letting him touch it, that's not loving. That's not what a loving father will do. Oh, but you didn't give him what he wanted. That can't be love. Hang on a second. That's a warped view of love. That's the world's view. Don't just give them everything they want. It's all good. No. That's not how it works. Check the Bible. Check the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. What does the Bible say? The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't just say give everyone everything they want. There is justice, there's right, and there's truth. And there is love, and it needs to be done in love. And when people say, God is love, how could all these things happen? God is just. And there is a penalty for sin. And there is consequences for sin. If my son, if he's disobedient, do I just say, oh, it's all good, you're just a good child, it'll be right, it'll work out. I'll just give you whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want. He's going to turn out like a rat bag. And he isn't going to grow up to love the Lord. He isn't going to grow up in the fear of the Lord. It's not going to happen. There has to be nurturing, training, discipline. And the Lord allows that in our lives because He loves us. The Lord allows tests and trials in our life because He loves us. It's been said before and will keep getting said by many people, I'm sure, you grow the most when you're down in the valley. When the tests and trials come, the tests and trials are there, the Lord uses them to strengthen you, to build you up because He loves you, so you can draw closer to Him. Amen. And love Him more. Because as you draw closer to the Lord, you get to see who He is more, and you get to love Him more. And you get to draw closer to Him more, and you get to love Him more, because you see more of what He is and how He is and who He is. And that's what the Lord allows, tests and trials. And you think, oh, if God was so good, He wouldn't allow. He does, because He loves you. That's why. He wants you to grow to a point of Christ-likeness. Not just down here on milk and doing nothing. He wants you to grow to be a strong spiritual Christian who loves Him. That's what He wants. He wants the best for us. I think the wrong thing is thought many a time that we don't think that God is seeking our best. My friend, you don't know what's best for you, but He does. He does.
He does.
Do you know the end from the beginning? I'm sorry you don't, but God does. He knows the exact things to place in your life at the right time so you can grow in Christ. Become more like Christ. Draw closer to Him. Love Him more. That's one prayer I've been praying recently is, Lord, show me how I can love You more. I want to love You more. I want to know You more. Amen. And trust me, it's pray it. Be serious. Be serious. Grow in Him. Love Him. He first loved us. He first loved us before we loved Him. And our love can never match or compare to his love, but we ought to love him. We ought to, and our lives ought to show that. In verse 20, it says, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" Verse 21, "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also." Here's a practical test. Do you love your brother? Do we have a love for the brethren? Do we love the saints of God? Well, it's a command. "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also." We are to love our brothers and sisters in Christ with the 1 Corinthians 13 love, amen? With the 1 Corinthians 13 love, not this worldly love and just sweep everything under the carpet. And no, we are there to encourage, to edify, to build them up in Christ, to love them, to pray for them, to pray for them. Just over the page in 2 John, verse 5, it says, "Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning." This is from the very beginning. It says that we love one another. We love one another. This isn't some new thing. This isn't just a new idea. This is from the beginning. This is right from the beginning, to love one another. It's a command. It isn't optional. We are to love one another with a Christ-like biblical love. Biblical love. Verse 6 says, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." It says you've heard from the beginning. It's not a new commandment. This is love. Walk after his commandments. We have the law of God right here. We have his word. We have his commandments. And one of them is to love our brethren. Are you loving your brother? Or have you got a grudge? And your brother might have said something wrong, did something wrong, looked at you in the wrong way, and that's it. Done with him. Moving on. He looked at me the wrong way. He said the wrong thing. No, love him with a Christ-like love, regardless of how you are treated. That's what love is. Oh, when things are going great, it's easy to love them, yeah? What about things when things aren't so great? What about when the times get tough, when there's friction in a friendship? Do you just cut it off? I'm done. You shouldn't have said that to me. We were friends. No, love them. Love them regardless. Forgive them regardless. We're told to walk after his commandments. We've been shown what true love is. 1 Corinthians 13, just read it and read it again and again and again. Memorize it. I remember as a young boy, one of our family passages we would memorize over the year was 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what true biblical love is. That's what we need. We need to have what love is ingrained in us. Not just this, oh, I think it was, is it suffers long? I think it's kind, feels good. No. Get it sorted and know what biblical love is. Because then if you get in a relationship, in a friend relationship, you can know how to act. And not just wing it. And I think this is how it works, and I think this is how you love, and this is what the world says, well, I think it's probably right. No. Know what God says. Know what God says about it. That's the most important thing, yeah? That's the most important thing. I know we're looking at a lot of scriptures, but I love the Bible, and you can't argue with the Word of God, amen? 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." Amen. Because we love the brethren. "He that loveth not his brother," what is it? "Abideth in death." That's a big statement, but it's true. But it's true. Verse 15 says, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." So the Lord Jesus took that one step further from "thou shalt not kill," didn't he? He said, to hate your brother, you've killed him. If you'd have had the opportunity, you would have killed him. You've done it in your heart. It says here, "We know that we have passed from death unto life." Here's a sure sign that you are a born-again believer, because you love the saints of God. You love the brethren. You love them. You want to be around them. You want to encourage them. You want to do what you can. however you can, whenever you can, because you love them, regardless of what it costs you, regardless of how you feel. The Bible says, doesn't say to like your brethren, it says to love them. There's a big difference. Big difference. Because sometimes you might not like someone, but you can still love them and treat them with love in a Christ-like way. Big difference between like and love, my friend. Big difference. The world goes off this, I like them, so it's all good. We'll be friends with them and we'll make it work. But true biblical love goes through thick and thin. Regardless, you can love them. It's a sure sign you've passed from death unto life. But then it says, if you don't love, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. You got someone right now that you hate? Love them. Don't hold a grudge. Forgive them. Love them. Because if you hate them, you're a murderer. Oh, but they did so much against me. I'm sorry, but the Bible says, love them. There's no excuse to hold a grudge. There's no excuse to bicker and complain about someone. You ought to love them regardless of what they say about you, against you, to you. Just love them, because you'll heap coals of fire on their head. That's what the Bible says to do. Heap coals of fire on their head. Go to John. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we'll read a few verses here. Starting in verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Continue in my love. So Lord Jesus saying, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. The perfect example of love. We've got a perfect example, our Saviour, amen. Amen. Continue in his love. Not the love that we receive from Hollywood, from the world, from all this garbage. From Christ, our Saviour. Continue in his love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If we keep his commandments, we're going to abide in love. If we walk in the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And our flesh just wants to hate on people at times, to do the wrong thing, but our spirit wants to love with a Christ-like love. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We saw the fruits of the Spirit. The first one's love. Right there at the top, love. And it goes down, and you can see the parallel with the characteristics of love. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And as you walk in the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit will be evident, and that will be love. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We're commanded to love others as Christ loved us. That's a very high calling, to love as Christ loved us. But God doesn't ask us to do something he can't enable us to do. You might not feel like loving. You might not feel like you can do it. But let me tell you, if you get before God and you're walking in the Spirit, he'll give you the ability to love that person. He'll give you that ability to love and show love and how to do it, because he's commanded it. We've been commanded to love one another. To love one another, not just like one another, to love one another. Everyone. Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Here we see the Lord Jesus saying, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And we've just been, the two verses before, commanded to love one another. This is one thing we can do. Love one another. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. What a privilege. What a privilege. Friends with our Saviour. Friends. Back in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 18 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's very easy to say, I'm just going to love someone and, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. Words are cheap. Actions show forth. If we truly love someone, if we really love someone how we say we do, our actions are going to back it up. You might say, I'm this. I love you. And then over here you're doing this. It doesn't add up. That's why it says, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In what we do. Words are so cheap and it's easy just to say I love you. It's easy just to get complacent even with your spouse. I love you. Back it up with actions, yeah? Don't just say I love you, then don't live it out. God gives us the grace and strength to live it out, and we should love our spouse. Love our spouse. Husbands, love your wives. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He gave himself for it. That means, husbands, give yourself for your wife. Give up what you want to do. Let go of your own ambitions just to be able to love her. Now stay according to the Bible. We know that. I was challenged once in our discipleship and with Pastor Charlie, and it was, I can't remember the topic, but I remember what it was about, and it was, we need to have a balance in our life, and we have time for God, time for family, our wife, time for ourselves. We should never sacrifice either of the first two for the last one. We always need to come last. If we don't have time to go fishing on the weekend because we didn't spend any time with our family, then don't go fishing. Spend time with your wife. Spend time with your family. Love her. Love her. Because we're commanded to. This is a hard one. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Lord Jesus says, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Look at this. Bless them that curse you. Hang on a second. This doesn't seem right. This doesn't add up to what the world says. Get even, get revenge. That's the world's philosophy. It's not what God says. Look, the Lord Jesus just says here, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's a hard one. That's a tough one. Someone says something against you, persecutes you, hates you, is your enemy, does all they can to bring you down. Pray for them. Bless them. Do good to them. Love them with a Christ-like love, with a true biblical love, agape love. It's not about how you feel about them. Love them regardless. Love them regardless. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Because if you're praying for someone like we heard this morning, you can't hate them. If you're praying for them, you're loving them. And that's what we're called to do. Love our enemies. Love our enemies. Do good to them. Bless them. Pray for them. We'll finish up with this. We've had a love for the brethren, love for our enemies, our love for the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And verse 15 says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. For the love of Christ constraineth us. What is your motivation behind what you do? Is it to be seen of men, or is it because you love the Lord? The Apostle Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us. Verse 15, that he died for all, and they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. I'm sorry, my friends, if you're born again, what a privilege. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. Live a life that is glorifying and honoring to him. He paid the ultimate sacrifice for you because he loved you. Isn't it just fair that we love him back? It's like, oh, I'm saved. It's all good now. I'm on my way to heaven. Let's live like the devil. That's sad. There's a lot of people who do that, and that's sad. The love of Christ should be all we need to make us do what we do. That should be why we do things. Because of the love of Christ. Because we see that He first loved us. Not that we first loved Him. He first loved us. And that should constrain us. That should just grip us and compel us. Drive us to want to love Him. To live for Him. To allow Him to work through your life. Not, I'm going to do great things for God. Let Him do great things through you. Because He will. He wants to. He wants to. Romans 12:1. Very common passages, I know. But it's God's word. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You've been bought with a price. It's only reasonable that you give your body a living sacrifice to love Him. Because He first loved you. If you've trusted Christ your Savior, if you're a believer, don't forget that love that He had for you. Love Him with actions. It's easy to say, oh, sing the song, oh, how I love Jesus, and then go out and do what you want. That's not true biblical love. That's not true biblical Christianity. If you can't sing that song with a true heart, don't sing it at all, because you're lying. And you'll have to give account one day before God. If you sing songs like that, sing them from your heart because you mean them. Because His love for you was so great, He died while you're still a wretched sinner. So you could have a way of escape. That you can have a home in heaven one day. If we love God and truly love the Lord, we're going to read His word and we're going to just believe it. We're not going to question God. No, I don't think that's right. It doesn't match up with what I think, so it mustn't be right. No, God said it. That settles it. Heard it said before, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, sir. God said it, that settles it. You don't even have to believe it, it settles it. God said it. That's all you need. We've got His word. We've shown how to live a Christ-like, holy life. Not a carnal existence. A holy life that is acceptable unto God. Is our life that we live right now acceptable unto God? Can you stand before God and Him say, that's acceptable? What you're doing, how you're living, the way you're planning your life, is that acceptable? Or have you not yet sacrificed your life? Are you still holding back from God when He's given you everything? You're still holding back, I want this part of life because I really like this sin, or I really have my goals and ambitions. Trust me, it's not worth it. Oh no, it's not worth it. When you sacrifice your life as a living sacrifice, present our body a living sacrifice and allow the Lord to just work in your life, He blesses you with ways that you can't imagine. Don't do it for the blessing. Do it because you love Him. It's so easy to say, if I live for God, then God's going to bless me. No, that's just prosperity. You just want to get the prosperity, the money, health, wealth and happiness. No, do it because you love Him. Because if you have the attitude of, I just want to do it for the blessings, when the hard times come, you're just going to quit. It's true. You're just going to say, it's too hard, I give up. Because you're not loving Him, that's why. If you love Him and have a true love for the Lord, when the hard times come, you're just going to grow. Because you're going to be able to lean on Him and you're going to be able to love Him more. That's how it is. True biblical love. Present your body a living sacrifice. It's only your reasonable service. It's not like this is this massive thing that you've done. It's only reasonable that you give your whole life, your whole body a living sacrifice completely. I'm done and dusted with this world. Lord, I'm all yours. However, whenever, whatever, I'm fully surrendered. Can you say that tonight? I'm just done with my life. I'm finished with it, finished with the world, finished with my ambitions, and I just want to serve Him and love Him because He first loved me. He first loved me. Do we love the brethren? Do we love the brethren? Because if we don't love the brethren, we're not loving the Lord because we're commanded to love the brethren. And it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. How do we love the Lord? We've just touched like a speck tonight. Take your Bible, get before the Lord, and be serious. Don't just say, oh, just sounds good, let's just read a bit here and there. Get serious before the Lord. to love him because he first loved you. Just stop and think just for a minute what Christ did on that cross for you. That's a serious demonstration of love. And it's only fair and reasonable that we give our whole life, completely, everything, no holds barred, everything for him. Sacrifice. To love the brethren, it's not a good idea. It's a commandment from God. If you've got any issues, any bitterness, anything in any relationship you have, get it right. Because until you do, you're not going to be demonstrating true biblical love. Get it right, sort it out. Show love the Bible way, not the world's way. Oh, I don't like them, so I won't. Forget about that for the day. No, love them regardless. Whatever's said, whatever's done, love them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Next time something happens, when someone says something against you, when someone does something wrong, don't think like the world does, I'm going to get even. Think, I'm going to love them like Christ loved me and gave himself for me. Because that'll change your whole perspective, not just on the relationship, but on life. We love him because he first loved us. Let's pray.